the newest member of NATO officially joins. Produced by Defense News and Military Times, this is the Early Bird Brief. Each morning, we bring you the defense and national security news of the day.
Good things come to those who wait. No better example. But with receipt of this instrument of accession, let me be the very first to welcome Sweden as a party to the Washington Treaty and the 32nd member.
Also, a number of attacks on U.S. service members in Iraq and Syria were much closer calls than first announced. What does it all mean for defense and security? You'll find out. I'm your host, Jonathan Lehrfeld. Today's Friday, March 8th, 2024. Before we get started, be sure to tune in later this morning for a bonus episode on the biggest news out of Thursday's State of the Union address. And be sure to tune in on Monday for a special episode with senior reporter Davis Winkie, who will discuss an Army Times analysis that found a high rate of suicide within armor brigades. First up, Sweden on Thursday formally joined NATO, making it the 32nd member of the Transatlantic Military Alliance. In remarks at the Department of State, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said it was a momentous day.
This is a historic moment for Sweden. It's historic for our alliance. It's historic for the transatlantic relationship. Our NATO alliance, our defensive alliance, is now stronger and larger than it's ever been.
The move ends decades of Sweden's post-World War II neutrality and centuries of its broader non-alignment with major powers. It also comes as security concerns in Europe have spiked following Russia's 2022 invasion of Ukraine. Sweden applied to join NATO along with Finland in 2022. Both abandoned longstanding military neutrality policies that the Nordic states had after Russia invaded Ukraine that year. Here's why it matters. The growing alliance reshapes the military landscape in Europe. Now, another state on the continent can invoke what is called Article 5. Article 5 of NATO's treaty obliges all members to come to the aid of an ally whose territory or security is under threat. It has only been activated once. That was by the U.S. after the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. Sweden's NATO membership has been a long time coming, in part because of NATO members Turkey and Hungary. Turkey expressed concern that Sweden was harboring and not taking enough action against Kurdish groups it regards as terrorists. Hungary's populist president Viktor Orban has shown pro-Russian sentiment and not shared the alliance's determination to support Ukraine. But after months of delay, Turkey ratified Sweden's admission in January, and Hungary did the same at the end of February. President Joe Biden and NATO counterparts have vowed that Ukraine will join the alliance one day too. In remarks, Swedish Prime Minister Ulf Kristersson spoke at Thursday's ceremony as well.
It is a major step, but at the same time, a very natural step. Membership means that we are coming home to the Alliance for Peace and coming home to the Alliance for Freedom, to which many democracies already belong.
Another important story, the commander of U.S. Central Command testified before lawmakers Thursday. Turns out, a lot of attacks on U.S. positions in Iraq and Syria have only narrowly missed U.S. service members. For more on this, Pentagon Bureau Chief Megan Myers joins the episode. So, Megan, Army General Kurilla testified before lawmakers. He said that a number of attacks on U.S. troop positions in the Middle East have been extremely close. Just how close is close exactly?
Yeah, so the Pentagon has said for a while that, you know, a lot of these attacks have been poorly targeted. The missiles or the drones exploded in unpopulated areas of bases or near bases. The kind of illuminating information that General Kurilla added is that there is a good number of these drones, particularly, and missiles that actually did make it onto base, but because of some like unforeseen mitigating factor, they didn't land. So they got caught in some netting, they glanced off of a building, and so they didn't make it to their intended target just because of, you know, bad luck on the part of the militias, dumb luck, you know, for the U.S. troops who were housed there.
And taking a step back, how has the environment changed in Syria and Iraq in the past couple of months? How much has the rate of attacks changed from the initial uptick after Hamas's attack on Israel on October 7th, 2023?
So there has not been a new attack since February 5th, and that was after months, so since October 17th, of near daily attacks on remote bases, outposts in Iraq, Syria, the one in Jordan on January 28th. But because of that, that attack in Jordan on January 28th, where the three soldiers died, the DOD response ramped up considerably. There were a number of targeted attacks, and that coincided with Kitab Hezbollah, one of the leading Iranian-backed militias that's been behind these attacks, with them sending out messages to their fighters saying, back off some of these operations against U.S. troops. And so there has been kind of a ceasefire, if you will, you know, nothing official, but there have not been any new attacks in a little over a month at this point. And that seems to coincide with some of the U.S. strikes. And then, of course, this message from leadership saying, back off, you know, we're taking a break.
Also on your radar, a Republican lawmaker says he's a rear admiral, but his service record tells a different story. Navy Times editor Jeff Zulowitz joins us now. So Jeff, Representative Ronnie Jackson of Texas says he's a rear admiral, but some reports are saying that he was actually demoted after his retirement. Could you take us through this case?
Sure. So first of all credit to the Washington Post for breaking this story today, but our reporting has confirmed that Representative Ronnie Jackson, he represents a U.S. district in Texas. He got out of the Navy in 2019 and is now a two-term congressman. His website still bills him as a retired U.S. Navy Rear Admiral. But according to Navy records we obtained today and sources in the Pentagon, Jackson was quietly demoted from a one-star Rear Admiral to a captain in 2022. And that followed a Department of Defense Inspector General investigation into his conduct when he was leading the White House medical unit. That's a unit of military medical folks who take care of the president, his family, and are basically at the White House for any kind of medical related needs. So, you know, currently Representative Jackson is billing himself as a retired Rear Admiral. But again, records and sources have confirmed to us that he was quietly reduced in rank to captain in 2022, nearly 2 years ago at this point.
How common is it that a service member gets demoted after they already have left the service?
It's not something that the services generally tend to broadcast or announce. They often, just for the sake of privacy, will keep kind of such administrative moves behind closed doors unless somebody comes asking. Recently, in the whole Navy Fat Leonard scandal that involved hundreds of officers, Navy officers out in the West Pacific, there were a few high-level cases where the Navy secretary issued a letter of censure to retired admirals and then bumped them down a rank to captain and such, like captain or a lower rank after their retirement. And, you know, reducing a rank after retirement, to some people it might seem like a slap on the wrist, but that affects, you know, the money and the pension you're going to collect for the rest of your life if you did, you know, at least 20 years of service. So it does have some big effects. I can't think offhand of any recent retired military people turned politicians who have kind of had this kind of discrepancy that we reported with Jackson today. But yeah, every now and then you will see the military announce these retroactive demotions, but it's definitely more the exception to the rule. And it kind of has to be a really high profile situation like Ronnie Jackson or the folks who were found to have done dirty as part of the Fat Leonard scandal.
And now here are some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. Britain said Thursday that it would provide 10,000 drones to arm Ukraine in its fight against Russia. The Navy is considering a policy change that would speed up the timeline for junior officer promotions as the service contemplates new ways to improve retention. Be sure to tune in to the 96th Academy Awards on Sunday. War-related films like Oppenheimer are up for Best Picture Oscar. And also, it's time to spring ahead. Don't forget this weekend that most Americans will set their clocks forward by 1 hour. For those curious, daylight saving time traces its roots in part back to World War I to help save energy costs. And on this day in history, in 1983, President Ronald Reagan gave a speech branding the Soviet Union as an evil empire. That's it for us this morning. To get more of the top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media at defense_news and at Military Times. The Early Bird Brief is hosted by me, Jonathan Lehrfeld, and produced by Zimone Z. Perez. Today's episode features stories by The Associated Press, Megan Myers, and Jeff Zizulowitz. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Gruss. Have a great day.